Spilt milk.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of the Spilt Milk Podcast. I'm the point guard. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Left-handed layup, but he is a soccer player. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's your boy IR him. You know what I'm saying? I want to say thank you so much to everybody that's been subscribed, everybody that's been tuned in. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. But without further ado, I got, you know what I'm saying, one tall brother, one short brother. You know what I'm saying?
It's two tall brothers.
Go ahead and talk about
it's two tall brothers. Oh, my fault. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hey. Man, y'all already know who it is, bro.
The what? Yeah.
You said one and only, man.
They heard you, man. Say it again.
Man, the one and only, bruv. It's a B in the house. The chosen one, baby.
Hey, I can see you.
I'm back.
And he really tall, guys.
Mm-hmm. Y'all already know. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what it is? It's your boy Moose with him. You know what I'm saying?
Moo,
we out here.
Moo.
That was season one. Right? We moved on. Moved on.
It's dead.
We're back out of like a crack addict.
What do we say for you for season two, though? Are you like Mr. Beanstalk? Like,
I mean, you know, I think that's season three. Season three, Beanstalk. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel I should call you Selly. Top boy.
No, I'm definitely
first
not
of all.
Oh my god, look at this. Great mind. Hold up.
Yo, who's the Sully of the Spilled Milk?
It's definitely the chosen
Moose.
One.
Definitely Moose.
Listen, it's definitely the chosen one. He's loud.
Bruv.
Come on, bruv.
Are you mad, bruv? Bruv, are you mad?
Come on, bruv.
Bruv, are you mad?
You mad, bruv.
This is Spilled Milk. This is zero tolerance. Are you mad, bro?
Hold on, toxic masculinity right now.
Bro, are you mad?
It's eminent enough, this man.
FB, how many niggas have you snuffed in your lifetime?
Oh my god. Yo, I ain't gonna lie though. I had a movement back in the days, the muffin days, bro. Some people used to, you know, if you're listening to this, you know.
The muffin man, yeah.
Yo, people used to get muffed, man.
And hey, you know what they say, right?
If you disrespect the LV one more time, I leave a nigga dead. For my favorite color, I leave a nigga red.
Boop, boop.
Y'all already know, man. Hey.
Whose line did you rob?
But don't worry about it, bro. Bro, are you mad?
Well, Ed, you got into character a little too much right
now. Sully, bro.
My dog is 110% Sully.
That's all.
No, Sully is crazy, bro. Sully's crazy. I think Moose has a tendency of Sully, though.
Nah.
He can be quiet. He'd be, you know what I'm saying, scoping the room and shit. You know, and then next thing you know, bah! You know?
I feel like Moose is Dre, bro. Moose got to be Dre.
I'm like the sleeping giant. Bro.
Which one is Dre?
Dre, the nigga that had the star tattoo on his neck?
Nah, that ain't me. Mm-mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
The nigga that started running?
I was running around with Sully. Mm-mm. The nigga, nah. He's the nigga that got the little daughter. You know
what
the
snitch.
Oh! No, he's snitch. He didn't snitch.
He didn't snitch.
He didn't snitch. Chill.
Do I got to snuff a nigga right now?
Yo, speaking of snitching, yo, I know y'all seen about, what's his name, man?
Yo,
Tekashi 6ix9ine,
yo,
talking about yo, no witness protection. He's gonna come out straight up.
He's about to get shot.
That's your boy. Sorry, what's his name?
He's a comedian, though.
What's his name, though?
Tekashi 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine.
He legitimately can't
what's
say.
What's Tekashi's real name, though?
No, it's Tekashi 6ix9ine, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I refer to
what's
him
his
as
his real name, though. Like, what's his like government name?
Garcia something.
Yeah, we gotta look this up, bro. Tekashi?
That was very racist. Why'd you think his name was Garcia?
I'm just being stereotypical right now. I apologize
that's not cool,
offended right now.
Yeah, take
his name is Daniel.
Daniel? Damn, Daniel.
His name is Daniel, bro.
Damn, Daniel.
Is it Daniel Garcia, though? Or Hernandez?
Yes, Daniel Garcia. No, Hernandez.
That's what it was, yeah.
Damn. Daniel Hernandez, yeah.
No, because his mama name is Garcia's last name. That's where I'm getting that from.
How you know his mama name?
Babe mama.
Oh, babe mama.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, niggas crazy.
But I think it's kind of like wild how like the cops are like, they kind of like did him, they kind of like knew he was like a good kid and all that. So they like used him in like a dirty way. You know what I mean? And but then now like when he comes out, I mean, that's the game, I understand. But it's kind of crazy how like now that when he comes out, all these record labels are about to do him dirty, just same way, the exact same way that like his old niggas were doing him.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's about to get used like a one-time use condom. It's a wrap.
Yeah. Use and throw. You know, it's...
Well, are we just going to act like that just didn't happen? Like, we're just going to...
Nah, I mean...
But Doc said it's a wrap. What is going on today, bro?
Yo, but listen, news, though.
What's going on, dog?
No, but listen, though. Just listening to the news, right? You know what's been on my mind the last week or so, though? Is this thing with that cop from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, what's up with her, though? I heard she got, like, what? 10 years down for killing a dude?
Yo, she got 10. Mm-hmm. She got 10.
What's the story, though? What's
the
story?
5.
Yeah, break it down for us.
So long story short. So, I was going to say shorty, but she's a cop. I don't know. But anyway, so this white woman cop, after doing 10, like doing like a long overtime shift, she came home and she parked on the wrong floor coming, like when she came home, and she walked in towards to the apartment complex. And mind you, it's a completely different layout from what her floor looks like. Walked in to this apartment thinking that it's hers, and she ended up killing a black man in the process. So essentially she got tried for murder, and Texas, they have different rules than some states. So every single state in the United States has different rules when it comes to convictions and when it comes to the law and stuff like that. So in Texas, they have the ability to go to a jury trial, and then the jury deliberates on the conviction if they are convicted, and they also deliberate on how long the sentencing should be. So Texas, the jury, after they deliberated, I think it was like after 4 or 5 hours, they tried her and they came out with a guilty verdict that she did commit murder. So she got charged with murder. And fun fact, this is the first time in the United States history that a white woman, that's a police officer, that got convicted for killing a black man.
In history.
In but 10 ever. Years though for killing a dude.
So she got 10 years. But the weird thing about it is in Texas for murder is 30 to 99 years.
Yeah,
and they applied a mercy rule to her and she got 10 years. But I think the judge recommended 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely bananas. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's really, really interesting because like, they kind of like use this like mercy thing. So I want to ask you guys, like, do you guys think that 10 years is like soft? Do you think that she deserves to get 10 years? Do you
soft. Agree with the verdict? Very, very, very. She should have got 40 years, in my opinion, though. Like one, right? If the script was flipped, right? And the dude that did the killing was black. Oh, he would have got the death penalty. He or she would have got the death penalty, number one, off tops. Right?
So with that being said, the Somali officer got 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
For killing the Australian woman. Accidentally.
Yeah. Accidentally for 12 years, right? And this is, she didn't do it accidentally. She purposely killed the dude. She didn't call the 911. She didn't try to get an ambulance to
She did. She did call 911.
She called.
But then she called like her partner or something to like, oh, help
Well, no,
me.
This is what happened. When she was walking into the apartment, first she walked to the wrong apartment, right?
Yeah.
And when she walked into the wrong apartment, so apparently either the door was cracked or something, and she thought it was like a robbery happening, right? And that's how she entered. But she parked in the wrong floor. She walked into the wrong apartment. But she was on her phone sexting her other partner.
Oh, shit.
So, and that's the person that she called when things went down.
Okay, so I got a question then. So, was she coming from work?
Like, I believe so.
Yeah. She came. She did like a long shift. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it don't matter.
With that, so the funny thing is, the girl that recorded, that was on the scene that recorded the whole thing happen, she got shot. Or no, she got fired from her job. A lot of people like called in to her job, basically saying that she's a radical black woman, da 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 da, and her job had to let her go.
Oh, the 911 dispatcher?
No. The black girl that was there. I don't know what company she was working for, but she's the one who recorded the incident happen, and she got fired from her job.
Yeah, we gotta start a GoFundMe for her.
I'm not sure who that person is.
Yeah, no, it was pretty wild. So
I know the recording was released of that 911, and she called and she was kind of like
but they didn't release the video. She recorded a video of the incident. Like, I don't know if it was directly at the incident or right after, but she had like a video recording. That girl got fired from her job. Apparently, like a bunch of people were calling into her workplace saying that she was a black radical, da 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 da, and then boom, she got fired. So the funny thing is, though, so like right after the murder thing happened, the police department got a subpoena to gather evidence from Baltham Keem's apartment. And what do you guys think about that?
But that's a... Oh my God, man. He's the victim. Why did he need a subpoena to go to his house?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy because like with the search warrant, they found like drug evidence. They found, they found weed. They found cartridge casings. They found a backpack with police equipment, among other things.
Police equipment?
Do you think that like, that was...
What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, I didn't read about that. What do you mean they found police equipment?
You just said they found police equipment, they found weed, empty cartridges.
See, I don't trust... This is why I don't trust the system, because you have officers that would... If another officer is in trouble like this, I would say... They could have easily planted this, right? I mean, you have someone... Yes, I mean, this individual's... If we said he had a criminal background, we would have... Our assumption would have went straight to, oh, yeah, he probably did it. Or he probably, like, does have this. But then now we understand that this guy was a community guy, a church-going male. He was a mentor to a lot of co-workers at PwC, one of the biggest, you know, the big four firms... And from his status, from his family, where he comes from, now I can't even like that assumption. I can't even put it to place to say he's the type of person to have that type of things. So that's BS. I think they planted that shit, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. So let's talk about the facts of the case a little bit, right? So when the officer entered, when she came home, she didn't really like check her surroundings, right? So she, with the parking garage that she parked, she usually lives, I think she lives on the third floor. She parks on the fourth floor, and the fourth floor doesn't have a ceiling. So it's just the sky. So she didn't notice that. She didn't perform CPR on Botham. She didn't call for backup. And from the people that heard the situation, she did not try to de-escalate, and she didn't even use the medical supplies in her book bag. Right, so I asked you guys earlier about about the evidence and how you guys felt about the evidence. Do you guys have an issue with her and the way that this case was handled, how she was treated as the victim in some light?
Oh, 100%, bro. Like, I was seeing videos and pictures of like her getting petted, being consoled. I'm like, she's a murderer. Like, she should not be treated as the victim, you know what I mean? I was disgusted by that. When I saw like the sheriff like brushing her hair, when I saw the freaking the judge giving her a hug, I was disgusted. What even made it worse for me was that like when I saw her, I can't judge him. That's how they process grief, that's them, but that's not how I would process that type of grief, where the brother of the victim hugged her. Like, no. I don't feel sorry for her whatsoever. She should have got 20 plus more years than what she did get.
No, so I personally think the brother situation, so the brother at the end, he asked the judge to walk over and give her a hug. And this was after she was sentenced, right? And I think a lot of people are like, oh, why would he do that? Some people are like, oh, he's passive voodoo. That's the last final step of passing the voodoo down. You feel me?
See, that's so disrespectful.
And there's like, there's so many memes that came out. But in true, like, in honesty, I think they tell you with like, if he's a church going guy, and that actually kind of speaks of his volume and his family, forgiveness is a big part, to forgive something and forget about it and move forward in your life. But if you hold the grudge, I think there's a difficulty of moving forward with your life and grief and being able to kind of move forward with whatever you have. And I think that was the ultimate step of mercy. That was the ultimate step of, yo, like, I want to move forward. This is done. She got what she deserves. I'm going to hug you and forget about it and move. And I think a lot of us are like, oh, what would you do? Like, if it was your brother, it's hard to put ourselves in that person's shoes because that's his brother. And we're just looking at it from an outsider perspective.
Yeah, but like, that's one way to handle it, right? But I feel like that's setting a precedence, right? So this type of thing happens again. Oh, they give the other person 10 years. You know, I think that's a reasonable time to give people. No, I think there are minimum times that people should be getting, right? Especially for murder, should in Texas, it should be getting 32 plus years, right? You got people that are doing 20 plus more years than that for just weed-related issues. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, it's not even about the, like, him as his brother. You're looking at it from just an outsider perspective. He had to deal with this whole court case, going to court, talking to the judge, finding evidence. This whole process, bro, is not easy. It's overwhelming for the whole family. So if the whole family is going over that, now when she gets sentenced, if she got 10 years, even though you think it's minimum, to them, they felt like this was what she deserved. And I think we're looking at it from like a whole policy to
more of a holistic picture.
We're looking at the injustice system, but from their family, if she got 10, they're like, yo, I'm good.
The most powerful thing that I heard about this was a conversation that me and FB had with Black, and we were kind of like talking about the forgiveness aspect of it, and Black said, yo, I don't have that kind of iman.
Facts.
And that was one of the most powerful things I heard this month, right? Yeah. Just like being able to be like, you know what, like, you know, like, I forgive you. You know what I'm saying? I personally don't think I could do that. You know what I mean? But just seeing somebody kind of bring themselves to that, you know, that in that space of mercy, you know what I mean? It's really, really powerful. But I think that the rhetoric that I do see is that, why are Black people always finding themselves in the place to be forgiving?
Mm-hmm.
But when it's otherwise around, we don't really get that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So if the forgiveness isn't being reciprocated, right? And yeah, I understand that forgiving is for yourself, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if we're not being forgiven, how come we have to forgive now?
Fact, man. Like, it's I think they expect certain things from people of color, right? That are kind of unreasonable. You know what I mean? Because they're not willing to do the same thing. Right? People who are essentially white. You know what I mean? If the script was flipped, best believe they wouldn't want that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think we're looking at it like, I always feel like when we're taking stand in these decisions, it's either you're a Malcolm X or Martin Luther, right? You either adapt and try to like assimilate and ask for forgiveness and forgive, or you're a Malcolm X where you're like, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to be radical. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to gain my rights. And I think one doesn't beat the other without having each other.
You know what?
I think it's a temperament of the situation where, you know, you have to forgive, but the forgiveness, I think the biggest part is not really them winning. I think it's you winning when you forgive, you winning by bringing peace to your heart. I think that's the biggest peace you can ask for, and contentment.
I don't know if I can agree with that. Like, that's the one, that's like a whole other argument I can have with you right now. Like, there is like, name one time in history where like that mentality of forgive and forget made a change, right? You look at the founding landmarks of America. Ain't nobody forgive and forget, you know.
But what I was saying is, it's not necessarily a historical like change that you can make when you do it. You do it for yourself. It's a personal, selfish thing that you forgive people, but you want peace in your heart. And you said, I don't care. It's not going to change the system. It's not going to change anything. And I know that, but I need peace in my heart for me because I forgive.
So for me personally, right? So like, if she pled guilty, right? And she said, yo, listen, I am guilty of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would maybe take a different approach.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing that kind of like left me a little sour is when the defense tried to use this argument of the Castle Doctrine, right? So the Castle Doctrine in Texas is when you have the right, and I can, you know, maybe read this directly. It's it could apply. They're saying that this castle doctrine applies to her actions. And under the castle doctrine, the use of force is presumed reasonable if another person is unlawfully with force entering or attempting to enter your occupied home, car, or place of business, right? And they try to use this argument by saying that because she thought it was her house, right? That this castle doctrine could be used. You know what I'm saying? And that defense was thrown out by the jury, and I applaud them for that. But just the audacity to bring that up as a defense. You know what I mean? And this and things like this is what a lot of police officers use. You know what I'm saying? To get off on cases. Like doctrines like this, that this is where we need to vote and, you know, go get politicians that kind of that can go and eliminate doctrines like this that exist at our state levels and stuff like that. But just the audacity that they use this defense, to me, is just kind of like, yo,
are you mad?
Come on,
you're
bruv.
Nuts, bruv. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, and to me, it's just like, yo, like, if you have that type of energy and you didn't plead guilty, you dig what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, like, yeah, of course, I understand. Like, everybody's gonna fight for their survival. You know what I'm saying? But is there?
I mean,
wrong
to be honest, they didn't
have that same energy.
They didn't have any other excuse. Let me just listen. Yeah, that was
grasping for straws there, huh?
Huh?
It was grasping at straws and shit.
Yeah, that was the least they could ask for. It was like, all right, I was just gonna use this because honestly, like,
you're effed.
Yeah, she is. I mean, like the thing that got my attention too was the judge, right? There was a lot of sorrow. They said there were two people that were unprofessional.
The sheriff, the judge.
Who else was there? Other people?
There's only two people.
There's the two people, right? Yeah. So like these two people, right? So the judge was actually crying throughout this whole case. Like there was moments where she felt there was an emotional thing that she actually broke down, whether was it for the defense or was it for the kid that passed away. And it was in both cases. The judge has a background that she was nominated and voted in by the police officer and the district attorney office. And she had a good relationship with officers from that area.
Yeah.
And
this is the first time that I've ever been proud of a district attorney. They went, they were asking for a lot of time.
Yeah.
And they were going hard at her. You know what I mean? And they did their job, right? The judge, I don't feel like they did her job. I don't think.
You don't think so? Why not?
She, listen, there are minimum guidelines, right, in terms of sentencing that they're given. They don't have to follow it, but that's the idea, right?
But I think she, like, because, like, you know how they can come back with an appeal or come back with anything like that, right?
Okay, go ahead.
She took every measurable step to be able to really give both sides the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Give every side to actually bring anything up forward. And at the end, she turned it to the jury and said, hey, you decide.
And Moose, like, do you think that, like, you guys mentioned that the cop, right? The cops and all that stuff got voted in the judge, right? So you have to understand that there's human relationships that were built, right? So the judge probably knew Officer Geiger at a personal level, right? So if you've had somebody that you've worked alongside for 10 to 15 years, right, in your courtroom that you know, do you feel like it's wrong for her to not be able to remove that emotion?
It's 100%.
You feel like she should be like, she should receive some sort of like scrutiny for
100%.
Just seeing somebody that she worked for so many years go to jail for 10 years for murder, like right in front of her.
Mm-hmm. But that's the job and that's the nature of the field that they're in, right? And if they felt any personal issues with it, they should have recused themselves. They should have got a judge that was not biased.
So long story short, if a doctor comes into the office, you're waiting surgery, you have a loved one in the back, may Allah forbid this, and loved one just got diagnosed with cancer or they just, you know, just died, and the doctor just busted out crying in front of you. Should that doctor be fired?
No. See, this is the thing. I think there's a two line. There's
that's two separate things, bro.
No. I think it's very similar.
Is it separate
actually.
Though?
Very,
is it separate?
Very similar.
Very,
very similar, right? Because these are the jobs of people that really determines like you can have, we could say, a doctor going over and beyond in a surgery room to really save someone's life, or just being like, ah, you know, let me save someone. But if that's a family person, a family member to them, they're going to do the unthinkable, right? And I think what the judge did in this case was unprofessional. But I think we have to respect the human side of her to be emotional to people that she knew. Now, I know when it comes to like the whole judicial system, the whole, you know, we have 2.3 million people incarcerated. We have 4.5 million people still chained to the system. And this is from, you know, probations and things like that, that they still have to report.
Long story short, like, you have to separate yourself. That's all I'm saying. But what I want to know is, I want to know what everybody else's thoughts are on that. Like, where do you stand? Are you with the chosen one? Should there be some human element to it? Should there be some, vocal, feelings about that whole situation? Or do you agree with me? And do you feel that there should be some,
separation
and between professional? Yeah. And put things, you know, at arm's length. We want to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter.
Spilt Milk Pod. That's SPILT Milk Pod.
Talk to us on Instagram.
Spilt Milk Podcast. And put any review. We're on 11 different platforms. Let us know what you think. And
don't forget the 5 stars.
You guys are well oiled. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, that was so well oiled, Maji.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? It's that Aquafina making niggas shine.
Y'all niggas been practicing? Y'all practicing?
You know what I'm saying? Y'all already know.
Boom, boom, boom.
But a great philosopher once said, love is love.
Love is love.
Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and prosperity.
When you say salam alaikum, I want to say wa alaikum salam.
Peace.